Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this AudioCast 52, I talked to another priest who also cooked on TV. Is he getting in on my action? Well, sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with Father Kyle Schnipple. He was on the Great American Baking Show, and he is also a priest who cooks and brings people together. And I have to tell you that after this deep dish discussion, and he's also going to be on for our deeper dish discussion where we get seriously deep about what it means to be a priest with unique gifts, trying to do unique things to reach out to people in unique ways. And Father Kyle Schnipple is definitely unique. So while we have a lot in common, we are very different people. One, he is a big, tall, white guy, and I am not. And secondly, I hate baking. Completely hate it. So will he convert me? Well, just wait for a deep dish discussion coming up with Father Kyle Schnipple on Shoot the Shiitake. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by Brand Fox, where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce comes together. We can relax knowing that as a nonprofit or ministry, they take care of the daunting task of commerce and provide great e-commerce solutions. So learn more about it at brandfoxllc.com. And thanks to all of those as premium subscribers, encourage all listeners to share this podcast with family, friends, and parishioners, and encourage them to subscribe to Shoot the Shiitake on their favorite podcast platform, and encourage them to be generous in a donation by going to shoottheshiitake.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. I have got with me Father Kyle Schnipple. You heard in the introduction how he was a contestant on the
Great American Baking Show. One of these times,
I'm
going to
get it right.
Right.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I'm beginning to lose hope, Father Leo. Really,
So tell me about your experience on that show.
Gosh, it was. I mean, besides being incredible,
because you had to fly to England.
Yeah, well, you filmed in England, so. And the 6 weeks prior to that, we were working back and forth to develop, like on each hour episode, there's three bakes that you do. And so you get to practice and develop the first and the last of those bakes, those recipes. And so you're working at home to kind of refine it and get it up to snuff. And you're sending that back and forth with a culinary director for the show.
Sure.
Who's kind of refining ingredients, not really telling you about technique or anything, but just like, what can you get? Cream cheese in the States is different than cream cheese in England.
Okay, so yeah, they were kind of retranslating it. But let's just go back a little bit. How did you even get selected on the show? And do you have a culinary background or are you just like baking?
Really nothing. A few years ago for our parish festival, we have a baked goods booth, and I had like an afternoon to kill before the parish festival. And I start, you know, what do you do when you have an afternoon to kill? You turn to Google. And I looked up, oh, what can I make for the festival? And I started finding these recipes on King Arthur Flour, a bake-along challenge.
Brought to you by King Arthur Flour.
Yeah, exactly. Sponsorship's accepted. And so I started making these, and, you know, every month I would make something different because it's so, as a priest, baking is so much different than our life, than the day-to-day life. Yeah, well, in a lot of ways.
Okay, so you were just baking for your parish.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden—
And I would put pictures up online.
Yep.
And someone on Facebook, a friend of mine on Facebook, is like, sends me a link. You should try out for this show.
Okay, and this link was to the Great American Baking—
Great American Baking Show.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Come on.
That's a lot of words, though.
I know.
Great American Baking Show.
We're words people. We're priests.
Well, accepted you.
Yeah, so then you go through this application process where you have to submit pictures. There's a Skype interview. There's an in-person bake.
Were you nervous?
Where you have to bring things. I was. Although, on one level, I was. But on another level, I'm like,
screw it.
Just have fun, you know? Just be yourself and just— And
what did your bishop say? Was he like, yeah, you can do it? Because, I mean, you got to be away for how long?
Anticipated being away for 4.5 weeks.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. And luckily, I worked with him as a vocation director when he first came. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, this is great because it shows this different side of the priesthood, the humanity of the priesthood. And so as vocation director, you'd always talk about, do I have to give up all my hobbies or interests if I'm a priest? And you and I both know, no.
Exactly. I'm still breakdancing.
Yeah, I know, right? ask Twitter about that. And so he was really supportive about, yeah, this is a great way of showing the humanity of the priesthood.
So you're from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati.
Correct.
And you're a pastor at what parish?
Pastor of two parishes.
And you're cooking for your people or you're baking for your people.
Yeah, both.
Then you get brought onto this show. How did that change your— Okay, let's talk about the show and then we're going to talk about how it changed your world.
The show. So then we get over there. They put us up in small apartments. So like it was a bedroom, a living room, had a kitchen. So we could actually practice with ingredients over there. And we had equipment that we could take
over. So who were the other contestants on here?
There were 10 of us. So there were 4 men and 6 women.
And did you have your own bedroom?
Yeah, we had our own rooms.
Okay, and your own bathrooms?
Yeah, we each had our own apartment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
holy cow.
So that was really convenient. So we had like a space that was our own.
Okay.
You could go home and practice.
And that's good. And you probably like said mass on your own?
I did, yeah. So yeah, I would try to—
To have a priest in the midst, because I remember there were some other unique characters and personalities.
Yeah, so one of the men was— Well, two of the other guys were in same-sex partnerships.
Sure.
And so when they walked in, I was like, I have to love these men.
Sure.
They are my brothers.
Yep.
You know, and so to treat them like a brother.
Were they kind of nervous around you?
Maybe at first. I think one in particular, it seemed like when I walked in, because I was in clerics the whole time. Yep. And he kind of looked at me, did a bit of a double take. But shortly thereafter, then it's, you're just here to bake. You're here to do different things. And you're here to just share your story.
So sure. Why can't a priest bake?
That's right. And so I think that broke down pretty quick. And someone told me recently that watching the show, they said they were so impressed with just how I interacted with the other contestants. I'm like, of course.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? Be like, bah.
You do realize that they picked you. Not just because of your baking skills.
Oh, because I was a priest.
Yeah, it's because you got that Roman collar on and you could have kind of like a little bit of drama.
Yeah, and priest bring ratings, you know, is what I told
them.
They can, to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, you mean just good and for bad news, people are going to want to pay attention to that. So you get there, you're in your own apartment and you're practicing your baking skills. Did you think like, I'm out of my league, I haven't had any former training?
Yeah, because the other people, their things were just so much more beautiful than mine. And that's always been my struggle in baking and cooking.
Just making it pretty?
Making it pretty.
One of the things they said, one of your cakes looked like a coffin.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, thanks. The funny thing was,
under the bus.
Yeah. I turn around, I look at Brian behind me. I'm like, oh my God, these things look like coffins. And she's like, no, they look so pretty. They're great. And they walk up and they're like, I don't know, Father, they kind of look like coffins. I'm like, oh.
So in the spirit of competition, this is a real competition. A lot of people think that it's staged. There is editing to be done.
Right. And there is editing and they do tell a story, but it is 2 hours to make a cake. ice, decorate, and filling. And that's not easy to do in 2 hours.
No.
Because you're hopping and hopping and hopping.
Especially if you want to make it good, you want to make it nice. And of course, baking does take a lot more time and precise measurement.
Right.
And so how far did you get? Tell me about how you did. Well, I've watched you, so I know what you did.
You know, I was the second one out of the 10 eliminated.
So okay.
We did a 6-episode run. I was eliminated at the end of the second episode.
At the end of the second episode. Okay.
Yeah, which is fine and great. I ended up coming home early, so I wasn't gone for the whole 4.5 weeks that I anticipated. So
okay.
I could pick back up on the mask schedule.
Were you pissed? I was like, damn it.
You know, I think I went out on a high note with the last thing that I made was a cinnamon roll shaped into a wreath. And I was really pleased with how that came together.
Okay.
So at least from there, I felt like I could go out and I showed at least a little bit of, I wasn't just there because I was a priest. I actually did have a little bit of a ability. So I was pretty happy with it.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you also have a great personality. I mean, like I've met you a few times. We actually did an event together. We cooked together.
Yeah, we did, which was a lot of fun.
We had this quote unquote competition.
Yeah.
And your scrambled eggs beat my stuffed peppers.
Again, yours was way prettier. I can always do flavor, but yours was way prettier. I think I had the home field advantage on that one.
No, but that's the beauty of it all. Like,
yeah.
How did you take this experience, you know, because you're a priest, you shouldn't be on a TV show. I mean, have you experienced criticism? I certainly do all the time.
Oh,
just like, why are you cooking? That looks so stupid. You look like a dummy. You're making a mockery of the church's sacraments. I'm like, really?
Really? No. You're trying to engage the world in a different way.
So let's talk about that because usually I interview people who are different from me. And actually, you and I are very similar.
Right.
You're just super tall and white.
You're short and Filipino.
But we have very similar kind of approaches.
Yeah.
But your experience was different from mine because yours was supposed to be a super long competition. You got eliminated after the second episode, but then something happened to your TV show.
We got pulled off the air because in the Me Too movement of, I guess that was 2017, where, you know, Harvey Weinstein from Hollywood, chefs, Mario Batali got pulled out.
Sure.
He got taken down in a sense. And I'm not like, oh, this is awful. They got taken down. No, the whole situation is awful.
Okay.
And
so
one of the judges.
Explain what that means because the Me Too movement is like women
Me Too
who are in the kitchen make accusations.
They were making accusations or allegations, credible or not. How can you tell?
Sure.
That one of the judges that was on my show, Johnny Iozzini, was, I'll put it this way, he was overly aggressive in the kitchen 10 to 15 years ago, in particular to female chefs. Should he have been doing it? Absolutely not.
No, I mean, he's like a good-looking Italian pastry chef.
Right.
And he's very talented.
Uh-huh.
And so he certainly may have come across as a jerk or inappropriately to other chefs. In
particular
kitchen,
to female sous chefs or assistant chefs.
Yeah. And she accused him.
There were a number of accusations that were made. And to his credit, he's like, 10 to 15 years ago, I was not the person who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't deny it. He admitted it. He owned up to it.
But I mean, he's a little bit of a bad boy. I mean, most chefs are a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they kind of come across as very machismo.
Right.
And so this allegation comes out, but then what happens to your show? I don't understand.
Because of that allegation, they didn't want to give him a platform, I guess. And the show was pulled off the air and replaced by The Great Christmas Light Fight or something like that.
So you couldn't even see how the show ended?
No, I've not seen that other 4 episodes.
What do you think about that?
It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking in particular for the other contestants. Who were still on the show. They actually sent me a DVD copy of the episodes that didn't air, and I still haven't watched them because I just can't.
Wait, that sounds dramatic, but tell me why. You can't watch?
I can't watch, and I'm trying to put my finger on why. Because I think it feels like such a betrayal to the people that I worked with, my fellow contestants, and all the people that put in so much effort to put the show together and to have it taken away from our side of you, from a contestant side of you, just really hurts you. It's like a dagger right in the heart.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And you actually became quite close to these people, too. I mean, you're only there for a couple of weeks at a time.
Yeah.
But
you're in such a pressure cooker of an environment. You know, think of like the brotherhood that we have with the guys that we were in seminary with.
Sure.
And that starts from day one because you're in such a pressure cooker of an environment in the seminary. This is ratcheted up even higher because you're doing all this intense work together, rooting each other on and sharing stories. And then you get these downtimes and you're like, oh. And I think in those downtimes between bakes, between filming times, is where you can actually.
So the idea of just you kind of competing in the midst of the world.
Yeah.
And wearing your clerics.
Right.
I mean, was there.
I put my Bible and my breviary, my prayer book, on my station every time I was in the tent.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What were people's impressions of you? I mean, obviously, besides the two gay guys, the two homosexuals who were in, what, they were both in just gay marriages or something like that?
Yeah. And even then, we had some great conversations about faith, about my life as a priest. Why is it only
male priesthood? Why can't you get married?
Why can't you get married? So it gave me a lot of opportunity to have those conversations. But what I started to realize, and you know this because of the TV stuff, that's a foreign language to anyone who's not in the TV world, right? And I realized that my life was as foreign of a language to everyone else that I was around as this TV world was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my life is speaking German and they're all speaking Spanish.
Yep.
So trying to translate what my life was like to these crew members, to my fellow contestants, to other people that were around, it was really interesting.
Let's talk about the TV world. When we come back, what did it do for you? What did it do in your priesthood? How has it kind of affected you? Did it go to your head? Did you take it to your heart? Let's find out about this when we return with Father Kyle Schnipple on Shoot the Shiitake. We'll be back in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Shoot the Shiitake. And for our special listeners as premium subscribers, those who donate $10 or more each month, they get extra content delivered to their mailbox each week. And this week, they're going to be hearing more from Father Kyle Schnipple, getting raw and real about the joys and the challenges of doing what he does, not just as a parish priest, but even using food to promote the Christian faith. So if you aren't a premium subscriber just yet, please know that we always could use your help because we believe that conversations can lead to conversions. So donate at shoottheshiitake.com. Again, shoottheshiitake, that's two eyes in shiitake.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, Father Kyle Schnipple, for a deep dish discussion. Let's talk about TV priests, because okay. I'm a TV priest.
Yeah, somehow.
And there are not many TV priests, and those who are on TV have done some really dumb things and screwed up. So let's talk about this. First of all, when you walked in and you saw all the lights, camera action, what was your initial feeling?
It's like Dorothy going into Oz, isn't it? You know, you're not in Kansas anymore.
No.
And it's like, wow. But on one level, because we're so used to being in front of people on a week-by-week basis at Sunday Mass, I think being in front of a camera, I felt very natural.
Sure.
You know, because,
oh, no, you came across very natural.
Yeah, because we're so used to putting ourselves out there for the sake of the gospel. This was just
but
a new avenue.
Arrogance?
I don't think it was.
I mean, but, you know, did you like being on camera? Let's just be honest here.
I mean, it was fun. Do I want to do it full time? No.
You can say hell no.
Hell no. Hell no. No, no, no.
It's true.
It was tricky. It was a lot of pressure.
So it's a lot of pressure. But why? Just you being you. And I think this is one of the things that I want to ask is, why are we so different when we put a camera in front of somebody or a microphone in somebody?
Why are we so different when, I think because you're afraid of someone won't like me, or you're afraid you're going to sound like a fake. You're afraid that, oh my gosh, what if someone disagrees with something I say or do? You put yourself out there, people are going to be able to attack different things. And I'm looking at you thinking you did a breakdance thing that got put online.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
That's
and
right.
You got crucified for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I saw that. I'm like, that's awesome. It was so funny. It was great. It was you being you.
It was me with Father Kyle Mano of another diocese in Illinois. And this was after a Steubenville conference and at the end of a very emotionally driven kind of thing, then we have this big party.
Right.
It's like a big party with a concert.
Yeah.
And so I get out there and I was breakdancing because Father Kyle Mano breakdances. So we were breakdancing and Twitter just went all amok.
For the most part, Twitter was very like, this is awesome. This is the greatest thing ever. But there were some who were like, oh my gosh, he's a priest. He should not be doing that. They're priests.
But I mean, what would you say to people about you? You were on TV baking and what does that have to do with priesthood?
Grace builds on nature.
Okay, explain this.
So yes, we are priests and we have been set aside to do something very particular and unique in the life of the church.
Yep.
And our primary task is to celebrate the sacraments, to preach the gospel, and to administer two parishes as a pastor.
Yep.
But our human nature, who we are as men, who I am as a person, conditions how I live my priesthood out, hopefully in a good way. That if I'm a jerk long before I'm a priest, I'm probably going to be a jerk long after I'm a priest.
No.
Yeah, I know.
You mean ordination doesn't take that away?
No. Really? I know. What? And I think that's something you and I agree on wholeheartedly, using our human gifts to proclaim the gospel and to say, to be a faith-filled person, to be a person, a man who takes his faith seriously, we both do, we're priests after all, that doesn't mean we're stodgy old codgers who don't have fun in life. We do, we take life seriously.
So you're thinking that, you're saying, because I'm just explaining for the people who might be listening, priests are allowed to have fun?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, what about the sacrifice of Jesus and all of that? I mean, how do you...
He had fun. What was his first miracle after all? He turned water into wine.
A lot of it.
A lot. I mean, like 120 gallons of wine for a
party?
That's
right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of wine.
It is a lot of wine. And more importantly, he just wanted to show that he wasn't cheap, you know? I mean, like when he gives
good
the best
wine.
And he gives the most. But when it comes to the priesthood now, we are kind of stuck in an impression that people have of us. How did this affect you?
I think
this TV show, that is.
This TV show, I think it gave me things I can talk about with parishioners and engage in that human relationship in different ways. It gives you an entrance of, for young men in the parish.
Oh, wow, you can be normal.
You can be normal.
Yeah.
And so I think all those things, it's helped me be, you know, have this awareness of, as a priest, we need to be a well-rounded man.
But a lot of people watch your show.
Yes.
I mean, do you know how many people watch this show?
A couple million.
Yeah, at least a couple million.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and your Twitter grew. What is your Instagram and Twitter, by the way?
Twitter's the best place to find me. Father, written out, F-A-T-H-E-R, Schnippel, S-C-H-N-I-P-P-E-L.
Okay. And so with the media and all of kind of the news surrounding your TV show and your epic appearance, how did that affect you? I mean, how did you take that? How did you kind of manage that so you didn't turn into a prideful son of a gun?
I got up and said mass the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, said mass on Sunday. You just kind of plug and do the next thing.
But were you realizing that there were a lot of eyes on you?
Oh, yeah. And the media appearances, both in the Catholic media world, from National Catholic Register to Catholic TV to this to so many other things, even to the secular newspapers, there were a few of them that came in and I was like, hey, come to the parish.
So you kind of welcome it.
I welcomed it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about priest and media, just because we aren't looking so good in the media right now.
I know. You know, I'm reading Duties and Dignity of the Priesthood by Alphonsus Liguori.
Oh, Liguori, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if any priest wants his butt kicked,
read that.
I mean,
no, there's a couple I could recommend,
too.
As a matter of fact, Father Kyle, if you're willing to join me again, because you are here, I would love to have you on a deeper dish discussion called The Learning from Leftovers, and we're going to talk all Catholic stuff.
Awesome.
And as a matter of fact, for all of our premium subscribers, for those who donate $10 or more each month, you get this extra content delivered, and Father is going to give me spiritual direction.
Oh, boy. Buckle up.
I'm going to ask you some really hard questions about priesthood. I'm going to talk about sexuality. I'm going to talk about the clergy misconduct, the bishops mishandling. Yeah. We're just going to talk about all that stuff, priest to priest. We're just going to shoot the shiitake in a deeper way. But for you right now, as you know, for all of our listeners, talk about priest and media. And what do you think is the role of, is this a softball question?
But I don't know.
Priest and media, should we even be on TV?
Yes, absolutely we should be on TV. Because if we're not, who tells our story?
Okay. Like how many should be on TV? Like we've all watched EWTN to a degree.
EWTN is, I think what's beautiful about EWTN is it broke into a niche where Catholics weren't before on cable TV on a regular basis and gave a voice to the Catholic Church that was not there beforehand.
Yeah.
And now what you're starting to see with a proliferation of other Catholic media, that voice is getting broader and wider and bigger. And so now there's so many other voices. EWTN has a very traditional mindset, and it's good and it's holy, and there's a lot of great things. And when I was vocation director, so many guys would come to me and say they thought about their vocation of the priesthood from listening to EWTN radio watching the TV.
But I mean, what do you think priests need to be doing on TV? I mean, so obviously they're constantly doing catechesis and talking about faith. They're celebrating sacraments with recorded and viewable masses for TV.
All that's good. But I think there also has to be the humanity of the priesthood.
But what does that look like? Tell me, because I mean, I have a cooking show and you were on a baking show. What does that look like?
See, that's the challenge. It's different for every person.
I mean, how about a show with a priest who exercises?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, it wouldn't be kind of stupid.
Yeah, it wouldn't be me. Because I think what we should be trying to do is we want to break the bifurcation, the silo nature of our world. Yeah. Where the faith is something we do on Sunday morning.
Got it.
And how does it impact the rest of my life?
Yeah, but see, like, if they saw a priest not wearing his clerics, there would be a side of the church that would just go bazonkers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how do you deal with that? I mean,
I think you have to just be like, well, that's on them.
Just screw it.
That's on them. Yeah, just screw it. That's on them. That's not on me.
So the reason why we're even
because
here.
The clerics don't make the priest, right?
Well, some people think
it does. Some people think it does. And I say that as one who wears clerics most of the time.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm also very comfortable to say, I don't have to wear clerics.
Sure. And we're going to talk about that in the deeper dish discussion, the learning from leftovers. I kind of want to just be very honest with our listeners. We are here because together we celebrated with two bishops and like eight other priests. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We hosted what is called the Olive Mass. We held it in Baltimore, Maryland in October, the end of October in 2018. So whenever you're listening to this, we hosted this mass for the hospitality industry, professional chefs, servers, anyone in hospitality and service. What did you think of that?
I thought it was awesome because, as you mentioned, Jesus was so much about hospitality. So many miracles that he did were at meals. So many things he talks about. He uses such earthy references in putting people at ease. Hospitality, hospital, same root, same motion, bringing people because we are made for community.
So let's talk about the hospitality. Why is our church losing people?
I mean, that's a whole
nother. Just give me a couple nuggets, though.
I think we've done a terrible job. Why is what Jesus says 2,000 years ago applicable to my life today?
Okay.
We've done a terrible job of making that connection.
Making it relevant.
Making it relevant, yeah. And I hear that, and I hear Father Benedict Groeschel, God rest his soul, saying, you know, that relevant is spray painted on the doors of hell in bright iridescent purple paint, you know?
Yeah.
There is a call to make an active faith alive in our people and calling that conversion, that call to conversion that we have. But it's a challenge. I think our people get so inundated with other things that they're just like, well, the faith is so outdated. The Catholic Church is so outdated. It's like, actually, no, we're not. We're on the forefront of so many different things.
Sure.
And if you look at the nature of the human person, what the church teaches about the nature of the human person, there's no one else that says what we say and how it leads to a fulfillment of the human person.
Okay.
That orientation. And so I think we've done a terrible job of telling our own story.
And how do you think your show on the Great American Baking Show?
He got it right.
I was going to say championship, actually.
I know. Oh,
so Great American Baking Show. How did that affect your priesthood? How is it affecting you to be a better priest?
I think just that grounding of, I'm very conscious, very aware, the Lord made that happen.
Uh-huh.
It's that grace. When you start to look for the grace of the Lord in your life, you see it everywhere.
Hmm. And so you saw this as a grace-filled moment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
This is the only way I got on that show is because the Lord wanted it to happen.
I agree to that. There's no doubt. I mean, because obviously there are better bakers in—
By far.
I mean, there are better cooks and such.
I would say the same thing about your appearance with Bobby Flay.
Yeah, I was like, why me? You know?
Because it's a great story, and it's a great encounter, and you have a great personality that engages so many people, not for ourselves, and I think that's the big challenge.
And I said, holy shiitake.
Yeah, you did.
and they edited it.
Yeah. The youth minister at my parish was like, I want you to be the only one that gets bleeped on this show.
What were you to be like? What the fake?
What the fork?
Yeah, what the fork? What the fork? When we come back to for the deeper dish discussion, we are going to talk just very raw about the reality of the priesthood. So people, you definitely want to be able to get access to that show. But let me just ask you one final question. If you could live your dream, what would it be?
Oh, is it too cliche to say doing what I'm doing? I love being a pastor. I love being a shepherd of a parish. Because as a priest, you know this. You get to be in people's lives in such intimate and unique ways. And it's so beautiful of a life that we get to lead. Mm. And every day is filled with fulfillment and joy. That doesn't mean that some days it really sucks.
It really sucks.
It does really suck.
Sure, absolutely.
You know? But on the flip side, you get to see the grace of God active every day of your life.
Last question. What can I do to be a better priest for you?
Pray for each other, you know, and support each other. And just, I think that challenge of fraternal correction, which we'll get into.
I can't wait. Listen, when we come back, I'm going to come back with my carryout order. What did I learn from my experience and conversation with Father Kyle Schnipple, contestant on The Great American Baking Show?
Hey!
Pastor of two churches in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. And now, even though we've only met twice, I would call him not only a brother in Christ, but a darn good friend.
Absolutely.
I'll be back in just a moment with our carryout order and more Shoot the Shiitake. For all of our faithful foodies and adventurous travelers, join me and other faithful foodies on exquisite tours, including the one coming up in June, where I go to the Dalmatian coast, Croatia, as well as Bosnia-Herzegovina, where we're going to see a little town where the Blessed Mother appeared to some children in a place called Medjugorje. As a Mariologist, we're even going to learn a little bit more about who Mary is to our Christian faith. It's going to be a retreat, a pilgrimage, and guess what? An amazing vacation, all rolled up into one. So please make sure you learn about all of my travels at fatherleofeeds.com/travel or selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for my carry out order with Father Kyle Schnipple. I got to tell you, this is going to be pretty simple and easy because I'm going to actually engage a deeper discussion with him for our Learning from Leftovers, which is basically extra content for our premium subscribers. And we just kind of get raw and real. And what I love about these experiences, again, working with people who are a little different from me, Father Kyle and I have a lot in common, but as I said in my intro, he's just a big, tall, white guy who likes baking. That is my exact opposite. But what I do find unique is that I asked him about living his dream, and he actually said that his dream was becoming a pastor with a community of people where he can kind of just cook and be hands-on, one-on-one with people and with a regular community. And that is very different from me because I don't feel that. I don't feel called to that. I can do it. I have done it, but I feel like God is calling me to something else. So while he was on TV and he did the Great American Baking Show, I think I got that right. I probably screwed that up, but he was on this show. It was interesting because there was a lot of news and a lot of press about it. And I remember that feeling like 10 years ago when I was on TV with Bobby Flay on the Food Network. The big difference is I won. He didn't get past that second initial round, but he did a great job. No, don't get me wrong. He did a great job. But it does take skill. And what I think people don't understand is, first of all, how much goes into a TV show and how serious this really is. He was saying that these people became good friends with his, and they were only there for like a week. Is that what the power of food can do? Clearly, yes, very much so. And so what I like about shows like this, where I don't have to kind of challenge anybody, Father Kyle is a great speaker. You know, he was the vocation director for his diocese, so he knows what formation is all about. And I got to tell you that that's exactly what we are missing. Formation, which is why I want to tell you a little bit about a new book that I wrote called Saving the Family, which is really about bringing formation to your children at the dinner table. I think there are a lot of parents who have abrogated their responsibilities, and they are not necessarily in touch with what their kids are learning at school, all the nonsense and garbage that they're learning from the indoctrination, from basically a lot of liberal ideologies, which are rooted in just a failed understanding of socialism. They're confusing socialism with social justice. And so formation should happen at the dinner table, but that requires a one-on-one regularity. And this is the carryout order that I got with Father Kyle Schnipple, that again, even though he felt called to doing something like this, he does not feel called to doing it as regularly as I do my TV show and my radio work and my speaking and all that other stuff. But that's because he is really gifted with this desire to provide ongoing formation for his parishioners. I, on the other hand, feel called to give a jolt of energy, literally a wake-up call to this Catholic church of ours that is constantly sleeping on the major important issues. And so I'm called to evangelize. He is called to catechize. I am called to provide a kerygma, an experience of the basics of Christianity. His job is to make it practical and go day to day and live amongst his people. So it really is a beautiful sense of just a complementarity of the way we both have something greatly in common. Again, our love for food and our love for our faith, but how it's exercised in a different way. You know, when we send out our deeper dish discussion, the learning from leftovers, Father Kyle and I are actually going to get super raw and super real with a lot of things about our Catholic faith. So if you're not already a premium subscriber, please know that we'd always love your support. And in fact, we always need it. I mean, doing these shows and doing the work that I do, it ain't cheap. And with staff, oh, it's hard. So we're sometimes just barely making it to pay for these shows. So thank you for whatever support you can give. But also make sure you let me know what I can do, what kind of questions you may have, or what kind of guests you would like for me to interview. Now, I can't interview some of these famous people that some people have asked me to interview just because it's way out of my league and I don't have enough money to even attempt to bribe them to actually do an interview with me. But is there a group of people you'd like me to interview? I'm very happy to do that because Shooting the Shiitake is really about a conversion experience, conversion through conversations. So while I'm super glad that I had a chance to meet Father Kyle Schnipple, I'm equally glad that he feels called to what he is doing and that even though we know each other and we're doing similar things, we're not threatened by each other. I gotta tell you, there's a lot of that kind of crazy jealousies and comparisons that happen in the Catholic Church and in the Catholic world. I think you see that on Twitter. People, like some priests, are bashing other priests. I can't understand that, but it happens all the time, and here's why. I don't think we're respecting each other's vocation, each other's call, because we are not taking time to discern and experience that formation that we need in order to be of support to each other rather than dragging each other down. So I'm so glad that I had a chance to hang out with Father Kyle again because he's not only a colleague in the culinary world, he's also a great friend and a great brother. And he also beat me in this pickup cooking competition at his church last year where they kind of had a bunch of basket ingredients and they threw it all together. And I made this delicate stuffed pepper with this beautiful ground meat in the middle of it and a beautiful quail egg on top with some herbal oil drizzled around it. And he made scrambled eggs and he beat me. Are you kidding me? Well, apparently it tasted good, but it wasn't based on creativity or plating. Let's put it that way. But I love the fact that we can play like that and we can hang out and even compete against each other. Why? Because in so doing, and this is what I think priests ought to be doing, steel sharpening steel or strengthening steel, we have to help bring the best out in each other. And that's what he did for me. And hopefully, I can help bring out the best in him. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, I certainly hope you enjoyed this show. So get ready for more Shoot the Shiitake next week. But between now and then, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by Brand Fox, where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce comes together. We can relax knowing that as a nonprofit or ministry, they take care of the daunting task of commerce and provide great e-commerce solutions. So learn more about it at brandfoxllc.com. And thanks to all of those as premium subscribers, encourage all listeners to share this podcast with family, friends, and parishioners, and encourage them to subscribe to Shoot the Shiitake on their favorite podcast platform, and encourage them to be generous in a donation by going to shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.